Because this is not the first one. If you can remember, there's a child who was killed in Port Elizabeth at a rugby match. Port Elizabeth or Udnake. So these acts are very serious. The implementation of them, Comrade Chair, I don't think that these things are being taken serious. We can't just make acts for the sake of making acts. Thank you.
Chair, the same happened 2 weeks ago in Stellenbosch, Kutzenberg. There was a school's athletics event where there was a stampede and 17 children got hurt.
Yeah, you see, honourable member, we will call the department, but the event organisers are not exonerated from this program, because these are event organisers that have to go first to the law and see what does the law say when you organise such big events. And thereafter, we'll ask the department and thereafter the police, because event organisers have to make an application to the National Commissioner of Police. Then the National Police of Commissioner will set up those venue operation centres and the category of the event. From there, the health kicks in and everybody, so that all of us must be on our toe on that event. So, JJ, you must get us that event, what was happening there, which event is that one, and then who were the organizers of that event, and the municipality where this event took place. Because the municipality cannot sanction such an event when they have not checked first. Have those people applying for such a major event, is it safe, and then what is going to happen in the event? I can see there is this church of this man said that is healing people in the FNP. It's going to be a big event too, that one. I want to check whether it's going to be a disaster that looked like the FNP before, where people were dehydrated, there was no water there. Because it's another event that has caused us to put act that regulate such big events. But we'll check. This one of the cycling, we'll follow it and check the municipality that was hosting that and the organizers. And the JJ one. And the Port Elizabeth, where the event was organized. They said there was going to be 500 people in Port Elizabeth, 6,000 people turned on. And there was a big fight there. And the wall fell on the child, and the child died in Port Elizabeth. So we have to check those things. But the most important people that they have to tell us, to what extent have they carried this message to the Federation, is the department and SAFCOC. They have to explain to us those. Thank you very much. Chair, thanks for coming in the SAPC. Firstly, we want to put our appreciation to SAPC. I think you, although we are not meeting regular, but you are one state owned enterprise or one public broadcaster. But from time to time, when we call you, and then it comes, and they come and give us information that we expect from them. But on behalf of these members of this committee, we want to say thank you to SABC. In a spectacular show that you have given to the world around the 2010 World Cup. And this committee had a sleepless night, day in and day out. They had never had a sleep to make sure that the World Cup becomes a success against the forces of detraction. You see, Shepherdson, it's so sad that the media in South Africa must be the feeder of the international media. When we arrive in Germany, people asking us about crime, and then we ask them, where do they get those? Because some of the things that they were saying were extraordinary things. That when you land at the Johannesburg International Airport, you see people waiting with an assegai there, and then wild people, and then there are lions just walking all over, and then it's a jungle. And then that South Africa is not going to meet the deadline. Then when we ask the people, where do you get this information? Because we are from South Africa, so that, no, but there are no media that comes to South Africa. Your own media feeds us that information. And it was true. It was South African media and other people who were peddling this information to Europe, that South Africa is not going to meet the deadline. I don't know now that the men from Brazil who said there's a lot of crime in South Africa, I seen him in the newspaper 2 days ago, making a serious admission that Brazil will never make the World Cup. Pele. But he was the first to say there's a crime in South Africa. Yet Pele is leading in South Africa literally every time and again. Today, he's talking about his own country that he sees that Brazil is not going to be able to meet the deadline for the World Cup. And that shocked me when I read the newspaper 2 days ago that the situation in Brazil is that warrant one of their most senior ambassadors failing to say Brazil might not meet the deadline. But we are very grateful of the SABC. There are things that we and the SABC and the portfolio committee that we want to know, and then give us your, what are you going to do with this national asset called the sport? You see, football is like a taxi industry. It belongs to black people, it was started by black people, it is something that they love so much. And we want to guard against this beautiful game called football and rugby, that it must not be in the whims of the market. And our children finally do not want to, they will not be able to see this. And we want the SABC to be proud and guard against some of the deals that people are doing with private broadcasters. Because you are saying to a person who stays somewhere in Guadalajara, must go and buy a dish for him to be able to see Pirates Kaiser Chiefs playing there. That's basically what is saying. As soon as those people clean the dish, deal with a private company, it means SABC either has to come to those people, cap in hand, and beg and say, can you give us a ride probably after 5 minutes and then we'll be, or after the game and all those kinds. All the things that are making the whole thing to make the citizens of this country to be in the mercy of the market, because PFL would go to the top people who gave them the maximum market price and forget about the people of this country. So those are some of the things that really are not auguring very well to us. The other thing is what I spoke to Cesar long ago, I think it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago, that Cesar, why is boxing coming at 10 o'clock? Who watch boxing when it's at 10 o'clock? Are you expecting this sport to grow? Then Cesar explained to us what are the issues there. Then he said, but I think we must discuss. We must have another strategy to check whether we can do it incrementally. It must be earlier, and then ultimately we put it at the level where other sports are. Unfortunately, see the left and those discussions collapsed. Then you are back again, we are rekindling those discussions now. There's nothing that we're requesting from SABC. We're just requesting that the SABC must make the people of this country to maximize entertainment for the people of this country on sport. If you are not showing us a dark, fine, and behavior, because it's a mother and a son, is a treasurer, the father is a president, I'll be happy if you don't show all of those things. There are these little funny sports that are belonging to families, but they get maximum amount from lotteries. I've never seen a small sport like that one getting anything closer to 23 million from lotteries. But when you check who are these, it's a family affair. But when rugby goes there to go and ask for money or football, they say that no, there are so many people who don't have houses there. But when Pascual asks for money in lottery and is given 23 million, nobody says, but that money could have been taken to Khayelitsha and built 10 houses. So those are things that we want to be blunt and clear, that with these little small family affairs, sports, officer said, we will beg you outright. And even if you made them to die, it's fine. Let them die a natural death. But these sports that we know that they are the sports where our people are participating in a large number, you can't leave a big pool and expect to grow and then you concentrate on the small pool. For you to grow, you must leave from small and go and tap to a bigger portion for you to be able to grow that sport. But it's not the case. I can show you members of that entity called SoftCorp. And then you say, but I don't even know about this sport. I don't even know about many of them. And then there are sports in this country, more than 200 sports in this country. Different sports. But the indigenous sports, I've seen a little bit of indigenous sport coming up, being shown and all that. I appreciate that. But we would like to hear you. How are you going to deal with the issues of sport, probably from now up until your time that you have put there? Maybe you have a 3-year period or 5-year period, the way you want to go with sport. And let us share that shared vision with you, so that tomorrow anybody asking us, why is this happening? I must say, no, we were with SABC. This is what was explained to us, a rationale behind this, and therefore we're convinced with the item design put forward to us. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to thank you and your committee for giving us this chance to engage in dialogue with the representatives of the people of South Africa. We are keenly aware of the nation-building role of sport, but also the community-building role. Sport as a promoter of cohesion in the communities. We would like to give equal emphasis to both. But of course, for reasons that my colleagues will present before the portfolio committee, it is not possible to give as much attention to community building sport as much as we try to do for nation building sport. We are a public broadcaster. But unlike other public broadcasters, we have to depend for 80% of our revenue on the market. The SABC is driven by the sale of airtime. And the sale of airtime depends on the number of eyes glued to the television box, to the television set. If the audience ratings go down, advertisers desert the program. So content drives airtime sales, and this is the crux of the problem. For instance, netball, boxing do not enjoy much sponsorship, and therefore this discourages their promotion as content for television. We can still do the coverage on radio, but it's difficult to take off revenue-earning programs and content from TV in favor of content which does not earn us revenue. This is the discussion that the Parliament, the government, and the SABC have to develop further to examine new funding models which can allow sports as a developmental tool to be promoted on our platforms. We realize that when a local team plays in the village, the citizens of that village become very proud when they can defeat the team from the next village. That is the primary reason why these things should be broadcast, so that we promote community cohesion. So I'm hoping that through the presentations that you are going to make, we will have good allies with the alliances with the Portfolio Committee on Sport to advocate greater allocations from the fiscals for the public broadcaster. Thank you, sir. Mr. Nicholson?
Thank you very much, Chair. But I want to, Chair, to draw comfort before we get into it. The ruling party went to a conference in Polokwane. Read one of the resolutions that was taken there. not illegal, it is our resolution of the ruling party. With that, I'm sure from now, it is that the SABC must not rely on the advert. SABC 20% to 10% can be advert. 90% should be the responsibility of government as a public broadcaster, because it is those things, Chairperson, that put you in a very juxtaposition that you cannot do other things because people are making adverts on your channel, and then you are unable to do any other thing. If you check the economic draft, you will see there's that kind of a decision. But I'm happy that you raise it, because in a cluster meeting we'll raise it with the Minister for Communication and Sport and say, what happened to that decision that was taken? Are you beginning to talk to the SABC and show them where will be 80%, 90% of their revenue, rather than 20% from government and 80% dependent on the advent? So that I would want to allay your fear a little bit. Maybe the process might be a little bit slow, but definitely there is that kind of a decision, because everybody was aware that we can't rely on a public broadcaster that is controlled by the market forces outside there. It must be a public broadcaster controlled by the public and funded by public. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Thanks for this opportunity to talk to you. This presentation will be structured in two bits. I'll talk to the high-level strategic issues that affect the SVC and fatality, and then Mr. Nzimande will take you through the detail of boxing and developmental sport, because he's the man that's actually in charge of making that happen for the public of South Africa. The vision for our sports business, as we reposition it in our turnaround strategy and as we look to the future with multi-channel television and DTT in particular, we want to be a world-class sport-based content and production broadcaster on a free-to-air basis. To be at the forefront of innovative, quality, viewer-centric, efficient, nation-building sport content broadcast is the mission of this business unit. So its mission is, in fact, to use sport to deliver the public service mandate of building a unified nation that sees itself celebrating and being victorious in sport. The core issue for us as a public broadcast is really the access to more airtime space, the platform, and we think we know that DTT will provide a solution to that issue. That what we haven't yet got a solution to is the cost base for our business, and it's broken into really three big chunks. The rights costs, which we pay to sporting codes and international federations, the production costs, which are the cameramen and crew and commentators that go out there, and then there's the internal facility costs, which are the studios and the outside broadcasting bands. Cecil will take us through that in a few minutes about exactly how that is put together. But those are the three big cost buckets. Production costs and the studio costs are containable. They are generally people, cameras, setups, and you can manage those because they're within your control. What really drives the cost of sport is rights, as you know. And it really is a global trend. It's very difficult for the SABC to resist this, because if you go onto any platform today, you will see the ESPN, CNBC Sport. There's lots of sport competitors in this space, and they keep on coming at the SABC. It's not just a question of super sport or whatever top TV may launch in the future, or ETV. And it really does become quite a big issue because of the subscription revenues that these broadcasters bring into their business. They're more able to offset these right costs. And if you can create a ring fence around those rights, you can get people to pay for your television platform. And our mandate is free to air. It's a very different model. We can't get a subscription methodology. And that might be reflected in this graph. If you unwind to 1990, before the advent of pay TV, outside of some cable networks in the Rockies in the US, you'll discover that 21% of the rights were held by pay television channels. We can all remember those things in townhouses where you used to get the videos at 7 o'clock. That was the early start of cable television. But as that model developed in the US in particular, they discovered that sport and news really drove subscriptions. and they started moving into the sport space, where at the end of 2010, pay television owned 63% of these rights, more or less globally, and free-to-air actually have only 37% of the games. And then they tend to be smaller code sports, and they tend to be smaller tournaments and events. So you might well find second division in some countries, but the Premier League in football will be on pay-to-view. So there are some models that free-to-air broadcasters are looking at. I think this is a global trend, and what really drives it, I suppose, is exactly the point you make. Sport is scarce. Now, there are some sporting codes that have built up over many, many years, and they're contained in a public space. Everyone has access to them. And the free-to-air broadcast is moving. There is not a new sporting code coming along, and there's not new growth in those areas. It does create opportunities for the SABC to look at developmental sports. Sports like netball, which have a large following, but very few sponsors. So their ability to grow it is an issue. But Steve will touch that a little further when he actually does the issue around boxing itself. The other thing that really drives the SABC is this issue, which is Clause 4.1 of the GAST regulations on identifying sports of national interest. These are the sports the SABC must broadcast. A confederation sporting event involving a national team or an individual, a semi-final or final of a national knockout competition, an opening game, semi-final and final of a confederation sporting event, and the regulation also then lists national sporting events on the above criteria. So you get yourself onto a list, and that compels the SABC to broadcast those rights and to acquire them in a free market environment. And that's our first problem. In the way these regulations are compelled. Let's have a look at the PSL, for example. If you launch Top TV and you also carry SABC 1, which you are obliged to carry and we are obliged to make available, your audience now has access to the PSL rights, the same as analog, and you have not paid any money for it. It comes to your platform free. So when someone comes to buy your subscription, they know that they are getting the PSL rights, they're getting the Rugby World Cup, they're getting the Olympics, because the SABC is compelled to buy them at a free market price, but they get a free right. Now, that for me has always struck me as quite anomalous. How can someone who charges you for subscription actually get a free right on the public broadcaster? So that's the first issue we have, is the must carry, must pay regulations, and we are engaging with ICASA and the DOC on those matters. So there is a process of engagement here, but it's a first big driving issue. Just a quick list for the Portfolio Committee, because I'm sure you're all well aware of what you can see on television, but not always what you can see on SABC. We carry the Summer Olympics, the Paralympics, the All Africa Games, the Commonwealth Games, the FIFA World Cup, the African Cup of Nations, the Rugby World Cup, both this year in August, the Cricket World Cup, currently on SABC 3, the ICC Top 20 Cricket World Championship, the Comrades, the Two Oceans. I know we have looked at the Soweto Marathon as well from time to time. Super 15 Rugby, the finals, the CASAFA Cup, CAF Champions, CAF Confederations Cup, Charlton Charity, Super 8 MTN, Telkom Knockout, Nedbank, Curry Cup, MTN 40, and International Boxing Federation. So just a mix of the sports that we offer. So this is quite a big investment the SABC makes. Just some other things. Sometimes the broadcast rights are just not available to the SABC. So if you look, for example, on rugby, despite the price of rugby, which is now in the region of $40 million a year, which we just can't afford, they don't offer a free-to-air package. So if you look at the PSL's offering, where they come and they say, look, there's a paid television offering and there's a free-to-air offering, it allows free-to-air broadcasters still to access good and valuable rights and provide access to the population of South African citizens to those rights. But rugby have got a closed shop agreement with SuperSport. So there's no free-to-air package that is offered by rugby in their lineup. And I think that's something else that we should look at if we are going to make sport available. How those rights going to be equitably distributed between the two categories of players? So this is not a question of asking for a market force to be disrupted. because if rugby were to be made available to free-to-air in a free-to-air package, then the SABC or ETV could bid for those rights, or any other broadcaster that has enough money could actually bid for those rights. But right now, this thing is tied into a deal with pay TV operators, so essentially it's SuperSport and Top TV, and quite frankly, Top TV just don't have the pockets. So it is SuperSport, and there's no real competition in those rights. Audiences and public opinion. People really do put a lot of pressure on the SABC about which games they want to see, and occasionally we live up to it, and occasionally we don't. Commercial viability of the sporting activity or property. Sometimes the rights are just beyond our pocket. The availability of platform space to broadcast. It is a fact that we have three terrestrial channels and they're already very crowded. You know, some, if you unpack the SABC 2, for example, and you would look at it from various perspectives of television, whether it was language or genre, you'd actually see the four or five television channels woven onto one platform. It makes it quite difficult for us, but we hope that DTT and the proper funding of DTT will open up that space in the next 3 or 4 years. And then, of course, the availability of the overall strategy of the channel in question. And that is relevant to boxing. SABC 2, which carries boxing, is very much a family channel. Family values, the average South African citizen's aspiration to a sound family. And so we have to position boxing a little bit later in the evening as a consequence of the channel's positioning of where it would want to put a sport like that. And then there's the long-term investment and strategic relevance. You know, we incubate sports, as they say. We grew rugby in this country, we grew football. Today we have to pay a lot of money for the access to the rights that we develop. Not saying that we shouldn't be paying the money for them, but as those rights develop, the money we've invested in, it moves into a paid platform, so the commercial operators get to actually harvest the benefits of a very long-term investment around the SABC. And that is relevant to boxing, and she's well also touched that. Just to give you a view on how much money we actually spend on sport, bearing in mind that we are currently losing about between 240 and 500 million rand a year. Okay. In 2009, we spent 860 million rand on sport. In 2010, 910 million rand. And this year, 949 million rand, but that included the Soccer World Cup. So it is a big year. And when we have the Soccer World Cup and the Rugby World Cup and the Cricket World Cup, we have a big rights year. So those 2 years back to back, we tend to pay more. And the third year, we don't have any of those World Cups, so the cost of sport comes down. This next issue is revenue, and it is an SABC issue as well as a market issue. 261 million rand is the financial year of 2008, 364 2009, and this year 428 million rand. So we are starting to liquidate those rights better. There is a long way that the SABC has to go in that, and we can do much better. It's not blame revenue on the market. It is something that we need to do better. But as a consequence, our three-year loss overview. In 2009, the year we made our rather disastrous year, we actually lost 600 million rand on sport, which was two-thirds of the total loss of the SABC. Not to say that we wouldn't have invested in sport, but just to show you the size of the challenge this represents to the SABC in its funding model. 546 million in 2010, and we project this year that we'll do slightly less, actually, 521 million rand. But that's because we've pulled back rights, we've changed some programming, and we've had better revenue performance around the Soccer World Cup. The things that worry us are the long-term trends in sport. We can work, well, I think it's almost common knowledge now, the right fees are set to continue to increase over the next 5 years. Those rights renegotiations are all up even at the moment. We're busy talking to rugby, football, and cricket. The rate of increase may slow down, but it will still outstrip the rate of growth in sponsorship and advertising revenues. And that's the other part of our problem is markets fragment, money moves elsewhere, so we really are fighting hard to keep the money we've got and to grow it. Free-to-air broadcasters will be squeezed. They don't have a funding model that can sustain the cost growth on sporting rights. So in order to help us, I mean, I think there are just two really big issues. The first one is the question about sports of national interest and must carry must pay, and the other one is that sporting codes should be offering competitive packages to free-to-air broadcasters, as well as the pay-to-view broadcasters. So, Top TV is potential to make this trend worse. We know advertisers are spending less on and less on sports sponsorship. There is an economic reality out there. And I'm sure this committee is well aware that in the last 6 months, we've seen Standard Bank withdraw from sport. We've seen Absa change its strategy. We've seen Sasol withdraw. And we've seen Telkom withdraw. And those are really quite a problem for us. If you analyze the number of advertisers who can support these big sporting codes, there are less than 20 of them. So there's not a lot of advertisers out there can actually pull this kind of thing. So, you know, and I think the one that does bother us is rugby. So if you were to have a rugby test, which we will show on the SABC, delayed live, we will generate audiences almost 4 or 5 times more viewers than are watching it live on DSTV. That's a fact that audience research can show that. But we won't be able to liquidate it because advertisers don't see that as a value proposition to us. So there's also this question about delayed life. We, as a public broadcaster, we are delivering our value. We are taking that sport to the citizens, and most of the people without pay TV are watching it. We've had nearly 6 million viewers on rugby. We play Springboks versus All Blacks. It's a big game across the country. We draw big audiences, but we're unable to monetize that. I suppose it's really have to work out this. If you're a petrol pump attendant, a man we meet every day in the street, and you'd be getting a net salary of about 1,300 rand a month. If you're a rugby fan, 200 rand of that would have to go on a subscription. Just to leave with that thought, Jay, so I'm going to hand over to Suzwe, somebody you know well and knows sport a lot better than I do, and the details of all of these things in far greater detail than I. Thank you, Suzwe.
Good morning, members. I'm going to try and look specifically now at the SABC's role in boxing and try and give an idea of what had happened and where we are with boxing. Naturally, I understand that the committee and the chair is concerned about the sport and what is happening within the sport. Our objectives around boxing is to entertain and inform audiences, deliver a world-class magazine boxing show, which we do also primarily to try and subsidize the cost of doing live broadcasts. Live broadcasts are obviously 3 or 4 times more expensive than doing a magazine show. So where we were at, we were to do 26 live shows and then supplement that with the magazine shows, which look at boxing news, past fights, interesting aspects of the administration of the sport, to help us balance that cost. Our objective around the sport was also to be sustainable, invest in the development and promotion of both amateur and professional boxing, partner with BSA and other stakeholders to create a vibrant industry. And that's basically what we've been trying to do for the past seven or eight years. What has happened? Our guiding principles and our guidelines to how we award or engage promoters in this scenario is to be neutral. We have no preference over one promoter or the other. We have a key focus on female boxers and promoters. We've been incubating female promoters and boxers for some time. As a matter of fact, the first female fight in the country was shown on live on SABC, which is the first sort of professional female fight. We incubated 2 of the first female promoters, which I'm sure are known to the chair and the committee. And both of them are products of the SABC, which we're very proud of. The dates are allocated annually through a tender process. Dates are allocated based on the potential of the fight and the fighters. As the chair alluded a bit earlier, that unfortunately at the moment we need to speak to the audiences. We need to give them programs on screen which they want to see. So what we tend to do in the tender process is follow the fighters. The best fighters and the best fights are what we go after because that's what people want to see. We do have programs that look at development, but for the 26 live fights, we try and chase the strongest, most popular, most internationally renowned boxers. Now, that has caused some problems in the past because what tends to happen among promoters is that certain promoters end up with all the strong fighters, which is a commercial thing where a particular promoter can pay the fighters a better sustenance or monthly salary or training fee or whatever it is. And that creates a problem because also end up with the bulk of all the boxes which we know has created issues in the past. But we try not to get involved in the promoter space or in contracting of fighters. We leave that to the promoters as well. International fights we view separately. What we try and do with international fights is we will assess each international fight as and when it comes up. Obviously, there is no set calendar as to when challenges will be on international fights, and that is driven primarily by the governing bodies. So, as and when an international fight is available, we will assess that international fight. That also puts us in a space where we are competing directly with multi-choice for whatever international fight, and the cost of an international fight is anywhere between 5 or 6 times the cost of a local fight, which increases the pressure on an efficacy of the sport of boxing. As mentioned already, we fund 26 national and regional fights a year. All the funded fights are live or delayed live. We try and make sure that they're live as much as humanly possible, unless there's another activity on SFC2 that prevents us from doing that. We have 32 magazine shows a year that are broadcast to support the 26 live fights. All the promoters that we work with must comply with BSA regulation before we can consider them. So we work conjointly with BSA, and BSA is the regulator and the governing body in terms of promoter compliance and making sure their license is up to date. We will not award to a promoter that his license is not up to date. Having a look at what we've spent on boxing generally, the very sad picture here is that in the past 3 years, the SABC has lost about 65 million on boxing. The running total is basically we've made about 2.6 million rand in revenue, and we've spent about 64.7 million on boxing. Naturally, this is not sustainable. One of the key issues that has put us in this situation was that about 5 or 6 years ago, some of you may remember, Vodacom at that particular point in time, the marketing manager, the person that headed marketing within Vodacom, was an individual who believed in the sport of boxing. Mr. Tommy Tamzajer might be known to some of you. And at that particular time, Mr. Tamzajer committed Vodacom to a 3-year deal where they would go into a joint venture agreement with the SABC where they would put half of the money down. The SABC focus would be to broadcast and to put the fights on screen. Boxing would assist in purse money and the organization and the promoter financing. But after 3 years, the strategy was reviewed by Vodacom, and Vodacom decided that boxing was no longer in line with what they wanted to do. They pulled out of the sport, which left the SABC with the total bill. At that particular point in time, the decision taken by the SABC management executive was that they would continue to support boxing and hope that in the very near future, boxing would be able to re-commercialize itself and find mechanisms to fund. That was about 6 years ago. So that process has been going, and we still have not, boxing has not managed to secure more sponsorship to fund the actual cost of the fight. and that responsibility is spent primarily with the SABC. The key challenges, the caliber of fights to date has not been the standard that assists the SABC to drive audiences. We've seen that the degradation of fights, the quality of the fights is no longer what we're used to. Some of the members are in the room that saw the sun long before my era would remember the era of Tap Makatini and the fight that used to be staged during that area where when a fight occurred, it was a national agenda and everybody knew about it. But over time, I think the last era where boxing commanded that kind of respect was probably the Hawk Makepula era, the Baby Jake, just before the Tovela era. But after that, we've slipped further and further down. The weight divisions have changed. We've moved from the middleweight down to featherweight and flyweight, and that's never really been the strength of boxing. The strength of boxing has always been in the heavyweights. So when the heavyweights have suffered, the heavyweight division has suffered, the boxing as a sport has suffered. I think the last time that South Africa produced a heavyweight of any notable element is probably about 10, 15 years ago, even before Worlds, I think a world champion was probably Kutsa. But if I may count Malinga as somebody that we could consider as a heavyweight, it's been some time that we've had a heavyweight who's actually contended under, of course, the white buffalo who fought in France, not as a South African, but as an American, so to speak. I mentioned the fact that SABC was in a joint venture with Vodacom. One of the key challenges for the sport is that a lot of sponsors find it not suitable to attach their brand to. They see it as a blood sport and not a sport that they want to associate with, which, as the acting CEO has mentioned, is one of the challenges that SABC2 faces. A lot of public opinion is that it's a blood sport, it's a violent sport, which makes it difficult to position it in prime time or earlier in the evening when children and non-appreciators of the sport are still watching. So we try and strike a balance between having it early, but not too early that it actually impacts those people that don't like seeing somebody get hit or bleed or punched. Because that is the reality that we have to face. We're faced with our channels are viewed by those people that perhaps maybe may not appreciate the violent side of the sport. As I mentioned, there's a number of key challenges. One of the biggest also is that when the SABC is involved in development of a boxer, the SABC runs a program with GSA called the Baby Champ, where we go into the regions and we look for young fighters at a specific age, and they're introduced into the sport, groomed, trained, developed, and then we grow them into regional and national titles. What tends to happen is once they've hit the national title, then they start challenging for international honors. That's when Golden Gloves comes in, along with Super Court, and they take the fighter, and then that fighter now goes and fights on the pay platform. Where we see this to be unfair is that this person has been developed on public funds, or by the public broadcaster, which is a national asset, but when it's now time to enjoy their full potential and see their capability on an international stage, Golden Gloves comes in and contracts and at a bigger paycheck, and they move to Super Sport. Perfect example of this is Joey. Some of you might know the fighter. Joey was developed in Baby Champs. The first time he ever fought was in the Baby Champs program. 6-7 years later, he moved to multi-train. We had an agreement with him. We attempted to have a contract with him. We were trying to protect that inevitability. We assisted him. He did a bit of commentating here and there. He was involved in SABC. But at the end of the day, we could not stop him from going to Golden Gloves and earning a lot more money than we could afford to pay. And the difficulty there is that at Golden Gloves, they'll do 10 fights a year, international, top end, high audiences, high sponsorship, and they do well. Well, Golden Gloves and multi-choice. On our side, our promoters, we do 26 fights. They're lower fights, they're not as sponsored, and generally create a financial problem for the SABC. We also, obviously, as I said a lot earlier, we consider female fighters over male fighters, but one of the situations that, because we're not able to give out more dates than we usually do, we usually reserve 10%, 10 to 20% of the fights, of the 26 fights for female fighters. It is not enough to sustain the two female promoters, the female fighters and the promoters that are out there. We would like to be able to do more to make sure that the female boxing fraternity grows as well as the female promoter fraternity grows. To sustain a promoter, to sustain fighters, you would need to look at no less than 10 to 15 fights a year. And that's where we think it should be. We were involved in our older world with Leila Ali coming out here, when she did come out, but and little activities, I guess, but that's not enough to actually sustain. Fighters need to fight, and to sustain that, we would need to actually allow them to get into the ring, and which would cost us in excess of 12 to 15 million a year to be able to do that. What are the key aspects going forward? We would like to almost go back to the drawing board, reduce the number of fights. We're currently sitting on 26 fights. The reason we would like to reduce the number of fights is to reduce the fights, have better quality fights, higher quality fights, which allow for the sport to grow. We believe that quantity is not the way to grow the sport, quality is the way to grow. So if we can reduce the number of fights, go back to the drawing board, it'll assist us financially, but more importantly, it'll reduce and focus the promoters and fighters so that we have higher quality, better fights. The aim is not to reduce, of course, to the level that Super Sport is has to be doing from a local fight perspective, but reduce so that we can get better quality on screen. It damages the sport, we believe, when we show a fight which is not to the caliber that the public wants. I mean, those of you that saw the very sad return of the Rose of Soweto about 3 or 4 years ago would see that was not something that should have been on TV. It was actually a disgrace to the sport. And unfortunately, we had that issue with the promoter, that there was a commitment that Tobela would be ready for the fight. A week before, as most of you saw, he looked no different to me. That's the sad part that we need to manage. We need to be more stringent on our promoters. We need to make sure that they value the money that is given to them by the organization, and we need to make sure that they value the responsibility of putting on a good fight. We believe very strongly in the Baby Champ program, as we mentioned a bit earlier. It has contributed a large number of our current fighters. I think those of us that are that watch the flyweights and the lower weights, 40 to 50% of those fighters fought at some stage in Baby Champ, and that's a big number. I think that BSA has done very well there and managed that program. The current acting CEO is a big fan of that program, and we believe that program should be developed. We've spoken to BSA to try and find a mechanism to try and look at bigger fighters, that heavier fighters moving up the ranks, because we know that's what sells. That's what makes boxing appealing. So there is thought process around how we make sure that Baby Champ also gives us some middle and heavyweight division contenders. We're trying to find. We've met over the past 2 weeks with SRSA, and we started a program of integration between ourselves and SRSA, working with SRSA. And one of the things that we're envisaging is to try and find a way to get SRSA to assist us with the development of the sport, particularly at school level, perhaps maybe getting involved in Baby Champs, reducing our liability from a financial perspective. We don't want to totally walk away from promoters. We would also like to try and find the mechanism to develop promoters, not only just reduce the fight, but grow the promoters' capabilities, because we find that a lot of promoters have boxing at heart, but perhaps maybe not the competence and the capability to manage the development of the sport. Some years ago, the chairperson and I spoke about the need for an annual sports endowment, which the FABC is a firm believer in, and the acting GCO has also indicated that it's something that we as FABC Sport must look at. And that sports endowment will be twofold. One, offer the chairperson an opportunity to engage with the federation outside of the platform structure, but more importantly, to give an opportunity for development and growth of coaches, trainers, administrators. I think there's a lot of work being done on coaches, but administration of sport is an area which needs to be developed. Looking at developmental sports and rural penetration, the challenges that Chairperson indicated, Chairperson of the SABC indicated a bit earlier, is that we have a problem with space, space on our platform, to adequately give developmental sports the time that it needs. We also face challenges around the development of content that speaks to rural areas specifically. The Chairperson mentioned a bit earlier that we do cover the indigenous games on an annual basis. But however, I think that with the right funding and revenue, we will be able to do so much more for the indigenous games. They're held once a year, but there is a whole process that takes us to the national championships, which we unfortunately cannot cover. We do try and sort of do highlight of it before the broadcast of the national championship, but there is a lot of space for us to assist prior to that. Funding, of course, of indigenous sports is a very big problem. There is not much funding there, and the primary funder is either the lottery or perhaps maybe SRSA, and we need to find mechanisms to assist in the development or in the sourcing of funding for indigenous sports. We also think that there is a development requirement in a lot of the federations that manage development sport. We find that the less commercial a sport is, the less funds available to develop the administration side. So it's a chicken and egg. We need to develop them so that they can become better managers and hopefully become commercially more viable. But the money to develop is sometimes not there. What are we doing and what we intend to do? On the catalyst is to be a better to better cover developmental sports going forward. We currently cover a large quantity of sport on radio, and which gives us the desired penetration, but more importantly, it gives us that coverage in 7 languages. We're looking to increase and perhaps maybe improve what we can on radio to reach the rural areas and be able to communicate and give relevant sport content into rural areas. We covered in indigenous games, as the chairperson of the football committee has mentioned, but through our relationship with SRSA, we hope that we'll be able to do a lot more around that. We're looking to increase the duration of Siadala. Siadala is one of our key offerings that covers development sport and the rural angle of sport. Currently, we have a 30-minute program. We're hoping to be able to increase the coverage of that program to an hour to at least give us a little bit more capability in that space. And hopefully, we'll be able to find the funding and meet the channel requirements to be able to do that, and of course, convince the acting GCO that this is the right direction to go. We're looking at improving the scripting that we do for our programs, current programs, particularly some of the football programs have a little bit of a rural insert and a developmental aspect to our sport. We are, as I said, in discussion with SRSA, and as the Minister has already mentioned that he is looking at a mass mobilization program for school sport, we are looking at how we will be a part of that and how we'll integrate that into our current sporting programs. Where we're looking for assistance from the committee is in the defining of events of national interest. We think that in the definition of events of national interest, there is still space for improvement on what ICASA has put down, and the assistance from the committee would really help in that particular space. As the acting CCO has already mentioned, it is a bit of a problem, the must carry clause, because it does not have the second part that says must pay. So you're finding, for example, if I take Bafana Bafana, SABC pays SAFA for the rights of Bafana Bafana, but MultiChoice gets the games for free. They don't actually pay for it because we must give them the fee, and that fee comes with Bafana Bafana. As a matter of fact, we were in discussions with them talking about relationships, and they showed no interest in Bafana, and rightly so, because they have it on their platform through us. So those are the
Can you repeat that philosophy?
So. How it works, at present, there is a clause that says must carry. So we would then take Bafana Bafana, we would pay SAFA for the rights, SABC gets the Bafana games, but then because we have this clause that says must carry, MultiChoice then gets SABC One for free, but along with them they get the Bafana game. So in actual fact they get the game for free. And that same applies to Top TV. So the poorer of the two is paying the rights, and the richer of the two basically gets the content. But that's a factor of the current legislation. It's not by MultiChoice doing it in any way. I think that the part that is critical, particularly around sport and some of our bigger documentaries like Generations and so forth, we need to look at a model that allows the SABC to claim some level of compensation for the rights that it's bought.
The chair, I don't want this to really fall in the cracks. The chair of SABC and yourself have to make sure that we are already now the allies to you. Go and check that clause and the possible amendment on that clause so that we discuss at the cluster level and then on the possibility of that amendment, because I do not think it's a fair play there. I do not think so. So that we can check what is this that we can do to make you and all other people to have that free leverage there, rather than the other one billing and the other one to not get. So it's either both of you get a bill or both of you and then and even SAFA must understand a national asset, and therefore they cannot come with a cap in hand to you to ask for a money. But even that is the legislation that says that we must look into that legislation.
The other aspect is, of course, where we're looking for the committee to assist is in the managing of the sports, particularly the Big Five. As we mentioned a bit earlier, at present we do get some rugby from MultiTrade, and once again, it's a market environment, and we appreciate that we operate in a free market. But the rugby that we currently put to stream is nowhere near enough to satisfy the need for rugby amongst the rugby following parts of our population. We cover rugby on radio, but as we know, radio and television are two different things. What we currently do have is the major sort of we have the inbound tours to South Africa for Tri Nations. We have the Currie Cup final. We have the Super 14 final. And then we're allowed by MultiChoice to show highlights of the games, but with specific clauses. And I know that there's been complaints on the portfolio committee before as to why we only show the highlights after Tuesday. Well, that's because that's one of the terms and conditions in the contract that MultiChoice has with us. We buy what we have from MultiChoice. And of course, they will do the best that they can to protect their business and what they do. And rugby is one of their primary sports. So what would probably be a great assistance from the committee if we could get a scenario where, like PSL, there is some reservation, even if it's just one game a week or one game a fortnight, but we get some level of rugby which is put aside for free-to-air broadcast. Not for the SABC, but for free-to-air. And then ETV and SABC can compete for that fairly. But that would ensure that the man on the street, the man that cannot afford pay television, is able to see the sport and can actually get access. It's the only one of the big five that doesn't have that. Cricket, where, as the acting GCO has mentioned, we're in negotiations at the moment. They've sold a package, which is a paid package to MultiChoice. They've left a portion of cricket for SABC to engage with SABC. We're engaging with them. PSL did exactly the same thing. They sold a package to SuperSport. Terms and conditions were that some of the football would be on free-to-air. Rugby is the only one that we haven't managed to do that. And I think that going back 4 years now, the chair will remember, we tried to come up with a solution to try and make sure that we get some rugby on screen. We are talking to MultiChoice at that time again, but in all probability, we'll end up with pretty much what we currently have, which is we believe is not
the best. But we almost have agreed last time about the rugby issue. You remember we even had the CEO of the MultiChoice, who had almost agreed, and when we left, we said go and finalize this matter, because MultiChoice was really having an appetite to listen and discuss this matter, but let us not finalize it. But I think it can't be when somebody takes this back, everything collapses, and then you can't conclude that. We must, when we leave here, we must make sure that we go and discuss and conclude that.
I think we have been talking to SuperSport, and they are very they are amenable. The discussion at the moment is that they are looking at ways in which they can give us more rugby. But I also think that in a free market environment, their primary objective is to protect the business that they have. And I don't know whether the AGCO, who's had a lot of discussions with MultiChoice, and I think he would also bear that it's been very positive. But at the end of the day, I think, as with anyone else, as we do in their position, you protect what's yours, and rugby is one of their primary focuses, if not their main focus when it comes to sport. So
it's creating a stigma and a problem to rugby, and I want us to help this sport called rugby to go out of the quagmire in which it finds itself in. Unless maybe you're coming from the Eastern Cape, you think that rugby is something to write home about. It is only now that the relations between ourselves and rugby have gone a little bit well, because we having number of bilaterals around this thing. But when you make it that poor people cannot see it, then you justify that this rugby is not something that is associating with ordinary people. And that view must not carry. But the manner in which you're explaining and what is happening, a view of ordinary people who are on the radio and who don't have a dish, who wish and they love this sport. There are people in the Eastern Cape, many, say in Kanduli and elsewhere, who are diehard and crude about rugby. Are we saying because they stay there and therefore with them, we're not as bonnet? And you're really, guys, we have to talk a little bit of business. We can't do that. Yes, sir.
And Chair, that brings me to the end of my presentation and discussion around sport and trying to get rural penetration for particularly around the big country.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As the presenters have shown, there is a lot to dialogue about, and we need your help when we discuss with the pay TV people and with other stakeholders within the different sporting codes. You have a critical role to play in enabling South Africans to democratize sport so that it's not dependent on the person's pay, pocket, or status in life, but it's a right inherent in the citizenship of this country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. What a nice presentation, but I can rest assure you I have 2 pages full of questions, but I'm going to give to members. 2 pages, I can tell you that. Kobikora, Congress of the People, Honorable Lee, and Madlua. Oh, have you finally come in? I've not introduced you, but I will not say DAID. I will explain to people who are you. Suga, you're the last. Let's read this order. Kora, Congress of the People, Donald Lee, Madlua. The last one is Suga.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's good that you've got this presentation so as to understand really what's happening, because I was one of the people, or I am one of the people who was hammering SABC. But I think that we need to have a meeting with the communications so as to look into the issue of the funds for SABC. We need to meet with that communication is to look at these clauses which we are talking about. To me, if we are not going to assist SABC, then the people of Bongalesu can forget about seeing really what's happening in sport. If you say you want to promote sport, then this channel which people can afford must make sport available. You know, the issue of showing boxing message which has taken place a month ago, really it's not of any assistance, because you've already read about it or you've seen so it on that other channel. If you say that you want to promote boxing and netball, then really even with the Minister of Sport, we need to speak to him there to look, because I heard somewhere that he was approached by some federation for assistance to sponsorship. We need to raise these issues with him so that he can also see how he can assist. Because, as the presenter said, that boxing, I know that people would sit the whole night. If you remember this previous World Cup fight of what John Tate and what have you, people would sit until the early morning to watch those fights. We were crying about white boxers disappearing from the map. We need to really give these things an attention to the chair. Let me stop there first.
Thank you, Comrade Congress of the People.
Chairperson, I'm a little bit concerned about this question of rugby not being shown on free air. I have it on good authority that SABC have been given an allocation to show rugby on free airtime. I don't know where this has fallen through the cracks, or because I think what the SABC presenters are telling us, that other than a semi-final and a final of Super Rugby and or a Curry Cup or a Test match, there is no rugby. Now, I have it on good authority that rugby is extremely concerned about the masses seeing rugby, because the viewership on Super Sport for rugby is 10 million. That's the viewership, rugby on Super Sport. So it's a massive number of people who are interested in the game. But the people in the rural areas, if they can't see it, it's not growing the game. So I would like to get to the bottom of why. I'm being told one thing, but the presenters are telling us something else. And I'm not for a moment suggesting your version is not correct, but I would like to find out. I don't know if it's operational or what it is, but I've been told that there is rugby available. That's the first thing. Second thing is, what percentage of airtime at SABC is devoted to sport as opposed to other programs? We've been told that news and sport are the drivers. So I'd like to know what percentage it is. You touched very briefly, but not to my liking, on school sport enough. School sport has massive crowd appeal and development potential. You spoke about development. We're talking about crowd appeal. And I'd imagine for very little operational funds, you can take school sport to the people of this nation. Whether it's rural sport, whether it's in the Model C schools or whatever, but a combination, because I think there is a massive potential there. You made the comment that advertisers, I think the chairperson of the board said that advertisers will go away from the box if they're not seeing good shows because they want their eyes glued to it. Well, for me, it's just there's Mr. Joe Soap out there. Surely, if you go and pay more for the best programs, you're going to get greater viewership and therefore more advertisers. To me, that seems an obvious thing. I don't understand why you're curtailing spending on shows which will drive up your viewership and get more advertising revenue. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Graham. Bernard? Chairperson, there are two reasons why I watch TV. I watch TV to watch sport. I watch TV to watch the news. The news I watch on SABC, and my sport, I switch to the other channels. Now, my question then is, Chairperson, why can't I watch sport on SABC too? The question then is, can't you afford a sports channel on SABC? Can't we have a sports channel? Coming back to boxing, you know, Chairperson, I watch all the championship fights of the past. It's called boxing, something boxing. The greatest fights, all those, yeah. I watched it. Muhammad Ali was bloody, it happened about 40 years ago, but I watched it because he was great boxing champion. And therefore, you know, I don't think it's the sport really that's the problem. It's sometimes the quality of sport that is really what the problem is. And the big attraction, as you've said, is that we had the heavyweights in those days. It was about the heavyweights. And today, too, still, it's the heavyweights. It's about the heavyweights. My question then again is, why can't we have a sports channel on SABC? Is it too expensive? I mean, I want to know, really, why can't we have it? Then Graham wanted to know about a certain percentage. I want to know, what percentage do you spend on sport? What percentage do you spend on sport in the SABC? I know you're running it at a loss, but
percentage
I would like...
of the total
of the global amount. That's right, the total. That's right, Chairperson. What percentage are you spending on sport? Well, that is also important. So, Chairperson, with that, I think I risk my case. Sorry. The other third point, and it was raised by Graham, is about rugby. You know, rugby is all sort of all people's sport. And therefore, I was also very, very disappointed that SABC sort of left out of the rugby scene, sort of, you understand? And I think, Chairperson, we must really, depending on the answer that Graham is going to get for the question that he posed, that this committee must have a sit-down with rugby and the SABC and see how we can get a compromise.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. From my side, I was part of a delegation who visited the South African Broadcasting Corporation.
I ask you, you must exercise the maximum discipline. There are visitors today. No apartheid here, apartheid there, apartheid there.
Yeah, I was part of the delegation, and I must say, when Sizwe took us around there, we were very impressed. And we came out there, and we all gave the SABC thumbs up. And we also commend their move to relocate from Auckland Park to the convention center. And really by doing this, they're actually bringing broadcasting closer to the people. And that is what I want to address. They brought broadcasting closer to the people where we have celebs and we have people of FIFA that have quick access to their offices. But as far as the presentation is concerned, it actually lacks evidence on the role that the SEB is playing to bringing broadcasting to those who don't have it in South Africa. I've visited a few places. There are places in Limpopo that don't have access to SABC at all. Amanua, Sirangune, Tarota, Sikangani. And on the border of Northwest and Northern Cape, there's a place called Yenangfle. And if you go there, the signal is bad. It's bad. And you have elaborated on that, Jefferson. Our people are soccer fanatics, specifically when you look at the rural areas. So I would like the SBC to give us an intention on the role that they are going to play as far as the poorest of the poor is concerned in bringing broadcasting closer to the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Masua, I'm happy that you didn't really disappoint me. Sukas, you're the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to appreciate this presentation by the SABC under the able leadership of Mr. Kubane. You know, this presentation has exposed me on many issues. In fact, it triggered my mind to think beyond what we're getting here. You see, my first entry point is that we are a developing country, a third world, if we define ourselves, and we are competing with the first world, you know, countries in sports. Now we find ourselves in that little bit of a quagmire as to our identity as South Africans. Where do we place ourselves, given the fact that the majority of South Africans are very poor. Unfortunately, somebody is setting the agenda for South Africans. Hence, we find ourselves in this state of affairs. The second point for me is the question of the legislation. I think we must accept ourselves. I'm glad about this presentation because it means that we as government, we must set the tone and not be ambiguous. And a developing state, which has got its own definition by intervening at an appropriate time. Well, surely we are sliding down towards getting not a quality sports viewing. You know, we are getting really not what we deserve. Despite that, we are competing against the first world. For example, 2010 Soccer FIFA World Cup. So I'm saying we need to make a serious intervention because, to my understanding, you are appealing to us that you must make something on this matter. In fact, in one of your slides, you are saying the Department of Sports and Recreation must try and come to your rescue for an assistance, especially financially, so that you can be proud of this project of our national television. So surely we have to move with speed in that regard. I've noted the various clauses, and yourself, you define certain clauses that where we need to intervene. To the extent that one presenter, I think the week, was saying that we need to meet very urgently, COVID person, with the Portfolio Committee on Communication, so that we find one another and try to on this matter of the legislation and the quality and the products that are needed to be shown on TV. Well, surely, we can't compete with, if this is the situation, we can't compete with the multi-choice or the pay TV. They are far, in fact, they are researching, saying, I was shocked also to learn that the most people who are watching the DSTV, the pay TV or the DSTV, was but DSTV are Indian, followed by Africans and so on, because of various factors. So my real concern, Chairperson, would be that we'll have to go either to a summit to tilt the balance to the favor of the poor. Otherwise, we'll lament and not have a grim a fundamental document that can guide our viewership when it comes to this. Because besides this one, we've got three channels in South Africa, SABC 1, 2, and 3, and we've got a competing channel that is almost free when it comes to soccer, because also soccer is a challenge when it comes to international games, in particular soccer. You know, we don't see those games on SABC 1, 2, and 3. We saw them in ETV, either delayed or live. As a result, there's a shift of the mindset of South Africans when it comes to sport, in soccer in particular. So I'm saying that maybe a kind of a summit needs to be looked into so that we prioritize on the part of the SABC. I'm not sure when last year they made a video research just to get a sample across the country to check why is the decline, what people want to see on TV when we talk sports. Because fortunately, the chat has been saying we've got more than 200 different sporting codes, and we are concentrating on the very few that gives the national viewership. So I'm saying, I'm not sure when last of you made some little bit of research throughout the country, in NF, through your regions, to say, can you go out? Remember, Matu, I was talking of Limpopo. I can talk of the Little Karoo, and by your definition, sometimes Little Karoo is the old form and so on. Yet for me, Little Karoo is Cliff Park, Taylor, Lomo, in the deep end, Upper Dean and so on. So that we get a clear picture of what we want to see on TV. My last point in chapter 3 is the issue of the Nvidia game. I will not talk about the development of the sports in schools, but in Nvidia game, there is a trial. But the percentage in which you pay attention to that is very little. And yet there are so many different codes in that area, which we thought that, I feel strongly that, could be brought to the fore. Just like in arts and culture, there are different artists that came to the fore when it comes to the artists and their performances that we did not know before, but we know them today, and through that channel. So I'm saying we need to do, there's room for improvement on this matter. On the issue of finances, surely you need some assistance, big time. And your sport has become the catalyst when it comes to revenue and tourism in this country. Surely, I feel strongly sometimes, you know, tourism must come on the sport because we bring the revenue, and yet we don't benefit that to assist ourselves in creating that platform. But that's food for thought for discussion. Otherwise, Chairperson, I'm glad that this has been raised. We hope that there will be more interaction. Maybe if we can have yearly, twice a month, a kind of progress report on what has been presented and how far we move from that end. I'll be very much happy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Chair of the Board, you will see which one belongs to this one, which one belongs to, and then all of you, you're free to respond to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, let me start with Saudi, so he can tell us what is happening in the region.
Thank you very much. I think all honorable members, as they know, most of people have focused on television. I think from radio side, we have 15 radio stations. We are also coming with new methods how to improve sport when it comes to radio. We are having a workshop where we are saying, we need to go even to schools, do some packages in the regions, visit some schools, you know, talk to top players to encourage to develop sports. Which I think it is very good. When I talk about the region side, I'm talking about the provinces, so that all of us we are clear. We have 9 provinces where we are having all SABC radio stations. They operate from the regions. So I think we want to do more, and it's good when we hear your views about all the developments and so on. and it also helped us to go back and review our programming and so on, which we have already started to say we also need radio stations to play more role when it comes to development of sport, whether it's news, whether it's programming. So we are already there. I think we are trying our best, but we need to improve more. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. With the issue of access, universal access to the public broadcaster, the Department of Communications and, of course, ourselves have been engaged in a program to provide low transmitters in the regions that are not covered. So there is an active program to provide transmitters so that everybody has got access.
So, Malua, when you campaign, you must tell the people that there's this process coming when you campaign.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Robin.
Yes, just on the commitment is to put in 300 low-power transmitters over the next 3 years. So there's, well, the commitment is one of the national priorities in the DRC. The commitment, we're looking at how we could roll out up to 300 transmitters in the next 3 years. I mean, Yunusla, I think, is one of the areas that has already benefited. I know there was one about 18 months ago that way. And we've also done some in the Klein Karoo. I think it was the first one that was done just outside Oudtshoorn. It was done about 4 years ago. So there has been some good strides made there. On the rugby issue, yeah, it's quite correct. We do have certain rugby rights, mostly around the Vodacom Cup, I think. But we acquire those rights delayed live. That's the one issue. Delayed live. So we start 45 minutes into the game. And that just basically means that they've already acquired the most lucrative audience, and we are left with something that is less than that. The other issue is that it's a gatekeeper issue where SuperSport control those rights in their totality. And we're simply saying a much better market for these rights is where there is a free-to-air package. Although, having said that, we do have a good relationship with SuperSport. We do try and build a relationship with rugby. It just depends that in this one particular code, this is an issue that may help us all solve this problem about rugby. Because if you buy a free-to-air package, a free-to-air broadcast, it will cost you less than essentially providing a package from a pay TV operator. I think Claudia's done the issue in schools and developmental sport. I think Sid Lovell is also focusing on that. Why hasn't it done we've made quite a big investment in boxing over a number of years, and we've sought to find advertisers, and they're just not there, particularly if your audience has declined. So we've made a big investment in actually trying to build the sport, but the advertising revenue just will not come. It's not a question of simply wanting to withdraw. Where we find ourselves these days, we really have to look at every cent we spend. There will be a sports channel on DTT. We've piloted already on our pilot year before last. It does allow us to display a lot more of the sport that we have and to really get into developmental and regional sports and indigenous games. The spend on sport is probably about 15% of our total spend. It goes up depending on whether we've got a major international event. Airtime spent on sport, I'm afraid I don't have that off the top of my head. We can come back to chair on that issue. The SABC research and decline. One of the driving directions that Dr. Ngubane has given the SABC is in fact to relook at its editorial policies and its lineup in a public outreach program as part of our editorial renewal strategy. Time constraints, money, all those things. It'll probably be towards the end of this year where we will go out again on radio and television and internal meetings with an outreach into people to hear what they want to hear literally on radio and on and see what they want to see on radio and television. Because those town hall meetings we were holding in, I think, in 2002, 2003, they really did give us a big revival in how we found content, because traditional research methods just don't get to that voice of the people. You just don't get the same sense. It also allows people to express whether or not a radio platform is expressing their culture in the way that culture has developed in a particular form. So we will be doing that again towards the end of this year. Ms. Mampane has, in fact, been given the duty to make sure that happens this year. I'm preempting our discussion on our corporate plans here. I'm sorry. So that will certainly happen towards the end of this year and early into the next fiscal. So we can start repositioning the SBC as a public services broadcaster in a DTT environment. We've also engaged quite actively with a number of departments around aligning SABC programs with national priorities and the agenda of government.
If I may, Honourable Member, the numbers that you were given about Super Sports rugby coverage are far from true. I think that if I can use an example of the Rugby World Cup in 2007, which was held in France, using that as an example, the SABC, the multi-choice for that game had viewership just over 700,000 people that watched on Super Sport. The total number of people that watched on SABC was just over 4.2 million. And generally, it's the other way around. SABC usually is five or six times bigger than what multi-choice has from a viewership point of view. With regards to the rights that the AGCO was talking about, we are given our rights and we buy them directly from multi-choice. It's got nothing to do with SA Rugby. Whereas with the other big sports, they will sell a portion to multi-choice, which is usually the bigger portion, and they'll reserve a small little portion for SABC. SA Rugby doesn't work like that. They give everything to multi-choice. Cricket, soccer, different proposition. In terms of the rights that we do have, the AGCO has mentioned, the willingness, and there was a very progressive discussion with multi-choice, it was to give us Vodacom Rugby, the Vodacom Rugby League. And once again, that presents its own problem, because if you're going to say to people they're going to watch rugby, they have an intention to see Bucky Sporter. And if you're not going to show them Bucky Sporter, don't. So, and that's the problem that we have. And if it's not Bucky Sporter, it's going to be Brian Habana. And if you're not showing Stormers, Sharks, Cheetahs at the highest level, then it's almost like an insult to the people to tell them you're showing them rugby. That was the first issue with that one. The second scenario was, as I said, all the inbound tours, when Australia, New Zealand, England, Argentina come to the country, we are allowed to show those matches. But those matches, in accordance with the contract with Sketch from Supersport, must be delayed, which is a mechanism that they use to protect themselves. Furthermore, they do not allow us to communicate the matches prior to 72 hours before. So if the game is on Saturday, we can only advertise from Thursday that we're showing the game, which also hurts us in terms of being able to go to APSA and say, come and advertise with us, because then we can't sell in advance. All the inbound tests that happens in the country, outbound, is not up for negotiation. We've tried to buy, and they're not prepared to sell that. Semi-finals and finals, Curry Cup, Super 14, semi-finals and finals, and particularly when that Super 14 or now Super 15 is within the country. That's what we primarily get, and that's what we're afforded. With regards to school sport, it's a very valid point. As the ACCO has said, we are looking at that extensively. Just 2 weeks ago, we met with a gentleman who is currently involved in the broadcasting of a school's rugby, and you might have seen it, it's called the Classic Clashes. We're in discussion with the gentleman that he first met with our company secretary and the AGCO. We're now in negotiation with him about looking at programs that we can develop jointly between himself and ourselves as an SABC to have far greater school sport coverage. He's done very well as an individual in terms of capturing school sport, particularly rugby. But what we're trying to see with him is how he can assist with capturing other sports, netball, hockey, soccer, and so forth, and give us a position where we can have regular updates in school sport. Challenge, of course, is finances, and we're also looking at a way in which we can commercialize that content from the gentleman in question.
Thank you very much.
in the SABC, the interest of the portfolio committee, see, other people always feel offended, but I like what you said when you started and say the portfolio committee is not a cabinet. Portfolio committee represent 50 million of the population of the people of this country. I think you speak from a position of knowing who are these members. They speak, any member of parliament, when he speaks on behalf of the 50 million people as a member of parliament, as a member of the portfolio committee. And when these views are raising by these people, are raising views that the acting CEO is talking about and say, these views are far better than an old, dogmatic, traditional type of research, which at times, Dr. Ngubane misses the target. I've seen all these other people who are doing traditional research, plus my research there. All of them. I don't know whether you go to the university and do that kind of a research, but when you have to really prove that research, going down to find out the reality of the research, you find the research is far from reality because it's a dogmatic, traditional university type of research, which I am having. So I'm happy that you raised that. And the CEO has gone out to go and hear exactly a different research when they go around, and people gave a different perspective of what they want, not what somebody thinks with statistics what the people want. They were saying those things themselves. But the other thing, Chairperson, is that sports is not really adequately given its place in terms of sports input on the GDP of the country. We have contributed a sport in the 2010-11 Soccer World Cup. We have contributed more than any except the taxpayers of the country. There is no any other entity that would say it has contributed to the GDP far better than the showpiece that we had of the World Cup. But what we're supposed to get in increasing that momentum is far lesser than what we give as a sports to the public. I think it is not right, and then it is something that we have to be seriously engaging on those issues and say, Chairperson, I usually visit in your province, KwaZulu-Natal. When Kaizer Chiefs plays Pirates in KwaZulu-Natal, you don't get a place to sleep there. You don't get a place to sleep there. You have to go and sleep a little bit, 40, 50 kilometers outside Durban. But in the beach, all the holiday suns there, and everything has been taken, and even you go up to Zimbali, everything has been taken. And all those people there are sports tourists. They have come there for sports. They have not come for Christmas. And what they have contributed there in the name of sport, it doesn't benefit or increase the profile of sport. That sports have to benefit equally to what the people have traveled and go and make an input in KwaZulu-Natal. Anyway, you can go and check that. Anyway. So I think it's the plight of the sport in relation to what is deserving has to be really elevated a little bit, because I don't think people have understanding of what are they busy doing. The traditional research in the financial main shows, acting CEO, in Europe the GDP on clothing, on everything on sport, it is what European people in Arsenal, Liverpool, or Tottenham Spurs, they are living on it now. It is their bread and butter now. They don't have a mine like South Africa to go and dig gold and mine, but their mine has become issues of sport in those countries. When are we going to be able to wake up and say, with us too, here is a melting pot of gold, which is sport. Let's make use of it. I think that time has come for us to be able to do that. I think that time has come. Now, the issue of the sugar rain, my comrade sugar, I just want to check. Most of the time when I look at the channel, both our paying channel multi-choice and the SABC, you will see Arsenal, Liverpool, all those things. But always I ask myself, what value are these teams having to us in Africa? If Africa has a value in an European style, when I'm sitting in London, have gone to the Tottenham Hotspur partnership with South Africa, when you open up all the channels there, I don't see an African game shown anywhere in the channels in Europe. But in us, we're pumping our content with European content. I want to understand, what is it that exactly informs us? What benefit do we get? You see, what it does, Chairperson, when you come to this province, the Western Cape, when Pirates is playing Manchester United, you find people having the red t-shirts are more than the yellow t-shirts in Newland. No, I'm telling you, I've gone there. You find the people that are wearing a red t-shirt are more than people wearing the yellow t-shirt. The yellow t-shirt is just a handful. The red t-shirt is full all over. Then I said, when these people left Europe and just flood Western Cape and come to the game at night between Kaiser Chiefs and Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester? It's because they think that it is cool to watch to the European football. It is cool. And it is not cool to watch the African football. To the extent, we've seen there was something that we're playing at night on the African game, African football, in the SADC. You see, those countries are poor. They're playing on the very dilapidated pitches. But at least SADC has a destiny to show us, even at night, the African games, and then you see. There was a channel there. You see the African map, and then you see all these people. And some of the boys that are playing in the country, I saw them in that channel at night watching it there, but now it's gone. Then I said, it's an European style. The interest of Europe has come, and therefore SABC is conformed. I don't know what is it. I'm not accusing you, but I'm saying it was correct for you to show that African side. Whoever wants to show European football, it's fine. But I'm saying, what impact it has to our people? Because it's a market-driven impact. Everybody wants to be rich, get rich quick, wants to go to Manchester, Arsenal, and all that, and then the game of football is eroded on a daily basis by those kind of tendencies. So I just want to make those comments. But really, I'm concerned that the nation is at stake if we can't do something, Dr. Ngubane. We must do something, and even if we are not very popular, but we must do something around this. Because the situation to us is getting bleaker and bleaker and bleaker. But on the other side, people get richer and richer and richer. And then it can be the situation. But I want to check the promoters in one newspaper says, I'm happy to hear what you're saying. The promoters in one newspaper, and we were kangala of Nagalumin there. They're saying, SABC is saying they will never show boxing because either SABC does not have money or something. But there was
very disturbing voice of why they cannot show boxing. Apart from what you said, but who has engaged you as SABC on behalf of boxing? And then what was the last message? Because if promoters are saying to us, SABC in a meeting said that they will never show a boxing. It means promoters and some other people who are having an interest are misleading us. Do not give us your red facts. And you are the best placed person to tell us, is it true that it was said it was never, or was ever such a meeting between yourself and whoever has an interest in boxing, to an extent that such a statement was made. I'm happy about the school sport that you raised, Cesar. But you say at times your beam becomes delayed, and then I didn't hear, apart from being delayed, what is actually the activity that makes you to be a little bit late? I just want to understand what are those activities that makes you, because if it is late, is it late because technically, or is it late because you were infringing on other people's right, and therefore your right is to be late on all that? I just want to understand the other thing I want to hear, Dr. Mugan. When a promoter comes to SADC for a fight, I'm not sure of the categories of the fight. Let's go to a low fight and a high fight, probably. How much do you give to a promoter? Because in South Africa, the situation is different. A promoter becomes the boss of a player. And a player is the one that is going to play there, is the one that has hired this promoter to market the game. But this promoter, the player, the boxer, has to come and kneel in front of a promoter, and the promoter takes out the check and writes a check to the boxer. It is the opposite. A boxer has to take out a check and write to a promoter and say, thank you very much, you have promoted this game very well, and then at least we've made business out of this thing. But here it's just the opposite. And from there, when they die as paupers, because they were indebted to somebody, and even go at times by Mashonisa or no promoter there and get money there when he got anything, and then the promoter takes everything and ends up with money. Since I alluded to Dr. Nguyen, on the view of boxing being a black sport, you can go, my child, I even said, Gulab, if I can see you watching wrestling one day, I will smash that television. There will be no television at home. And I'm serious. I don't care. There will never be a television in my place watching wrestling. But wrestling has become a popular sport, is viewed, and it's worse than boxing. It's worse than boxing. Now, I want to understand this dichotomy of a black sport, and therefore other people feel much offended, and they feel nice when those people, when they get to their wrestlers and go and play and grab each other. I just want to understand, Dr. Nguyen, there is no logic in that. Completely no logic. Anybody can say there is logic in doing boxing and wrestling, and logic is wrestling. Then I'm out of my logic completely. I'll never have logic. The baby chance. The role that you played in baby chance. Maybe that Dr. Singh is here, Professor Singh is here. There is a notion from
Samkota and the department's view that the baby camp is a waste of money. I don't know whose money. I want to check to Professor Singh. How much is the department putting on that baby camp? Because that baby camp program has created this young boxer, Muslim Tambo, who's coming from the, I forgot what is his name. This baby camp program, this country could have not been what it is now if it was not because of that baby camp program. And we were said that there was talk in the department that the baby camp is a useless exercise. I want to check from Dr. Singh. He must inform the SADC and say, we are concerned SADC abandon the chance because in our view as the department, it's a useless exercise, a waste of money. But there is that kind of a talk that is a waste of money. I want to check whether it's a waste of money to SADC or it's a waste of money to the department. And if it's in the department, how much is the department spending on the body chain? Because the money that the department is spending for the entire box in South Africa, you'll fall if I can tell you how much is it. I do not want to tell you what is the budget for box in South Africa. That is the department gives to box in South Africa. If you can go to the red books and go and check appropriation there and go and check what boxing is getting there, it's nothing. It's nothing up until we force the minister Sofile to increase that a little bit amount, and then it has gone up. Even responsibility of drug free to deal with the very sensitive matter that is creeping into the country of drugs. If they can take the money that is given by the department to drug free, it's a drop in an ocean, of debt in the Eastern Cape, in the Western Cape. Yeah, in a pool of debt, yes. And then you just drop that amount of money. And then you wanted to deal with the issues of debt in this. Yes, Professor?
Thank you, Chair. The department doesn't sponsor specific programs of boxing. It funds boxing in total. So it's not about the baby champs by itself. With regards to the baby champs, no, the department itself has not said that the baby champs is not working or is not a good program. It is Boxing South Africa who has reported that the baby champs program no longer exists. So for whatever reasons, Boxing South Africa has decided not to continue with the program is unknown to us, but they've reported that this program has not been working, probably for its own reasons. We don't know what those are, but in various reports, even the acting CEO has mentioned that he's very passionate about this, and in his view, on several occasions he's informed me that this is what Boxing South Africa has to bring back. Thank you.
Thanks. That is the case. We will discuss it at the department level, because I will tell you, you said the baby chains are useless. I will say that in our own setup of the department with the department, then you will see that I will say this person says that. And now it's unparliamentary to talk about the people that are not here. Donald, I have given you a chance. When I speak, you want to demand. Yes, Donald.
No, Chairperson, because you raised the matter of boxers, great champions, dying as paupers. You raised that issue. And it happened the other day again. Happy Boy, when he died a pauper. The question is, why did he die a pauper? He died a pauper because we forgot about him. Why did we forget about him? Because we didn't talk about him more. We didn't show him more. Muhammad Ali will never die a pauper. He will die a known boxer because he's shown and he's heard all the time. And that is what we do as South Africans. We have these great boxers, we have these great champions, and we tend to forget about them. We don't show them, we are not proud of them.
No, it's true. You see, South Africa has one weakness, Donald. When you have put in a company, you steal the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Sport. You add value. But by the day you are off this chair in the street, what you have carried for 11 years carrying that committee has gone down the drain. That is a simple sadness of our country. The contribution of a person is just something very significant, insignificant, and then it goes. So with other countries, Muhammad Ali remains an icon of that country and then remains an inspirer of the young people in that country, remains a person that everybody wants to look like. Not that you must look like somebody driving a Lamborghini and spin it in the street, and then my child must say, I want to be like this person. Can't be. I am. No. The other thing that I want to on the female promoters in boxing, SABC, you have done well. And I want you to go back to the basics that you've been doing, and then which are right. You have created a woman called Mbali Zand. That girl was not found by anybody else except SABC. And then the only women promoter in the lion's den, that's by Orotni women and others. That is a jungle thing. Oh, Nancy Moloshovitz, but this guy, Franco. It's a lion's den. Then you have this girl that you yourself, you was not seen by anybody, was picked up by SABC and then doing women boxing and do all sorts of things. Where is that woman now? Which was the idol of the SABC, which you make has made the women's folk to be proud. Gone. To show that it was gone. You take that joke of a man and bring the Laila Ali fight and then go and do that mess of fraud and everything there that was going on there. And it was a disgrace, that thing, Laila Ali. But if you given it to another woman of stature and organized the Laila Ali fight, I think it could have been something to write home about. I think you must go back and hunt and say, women, when it comes to women, man, SABC, we are prepared to assist you with R5, but let us have boxers who are women and be able to do this kind. Notice this thing that I hear is happening there in SABC, and then one man gets everything. I think so. When is it that? But why are you not showing? Say, no. Here in this country, there is one person who gets every deal from MultiChoice and the SABC, and the rest of the mediocre people like me who don't have anything do not get any privilege to have their boxers viewed by SABC or any. It's only those who eat others. The jungle life. And I think you must do the thing that you used to do, which was right. And then tap unto women and check off what you can do around issues of women. So I want to check, have you engaged the MultiChoice on a matter of national interest? If you want a definition of a national interest, we're keen to assist you so that all of us be on the same wavelength on the matters of national interest. So that when you talk to them on the matters of national interest, and as a public broadcaster, when I was still coming up at school, I was taught that the role of the broadcaster, the key responsibility of the broadcaster is to educate and entertain, not to accept adverts to maximize income. That is what I've never heard anybody talking that language when I was still coming up and saying, what is the core business of SABC? They say, is to educate and to entertain. and inform. But this other element now of entertainment becomes diluted for these reasons that we are giving up, which I don't dispute. But I think we have to make sure that that noble vision of entertain, educate, and inform must be the pinner, must be the key thing of the SABC. I'm not in the SABC committee on communication here, but I think if that has changed, it has changed in a very wrong way, because we have a responsibility of this nation to educate and inform and entertain our people. If that has changed, it's a setback to me. I'm happy about the reducing fight, have a better quality of boxers, and all those other things that you're talking about. And what you raise, say, we must assist in defining the events of national interest. And then we'll interact with the other committee on those and check what can you do. I think the last point that I'm going to ask Dr. Ngubane, and even if it is not yourself, but one of the board members, Kay, and Sid, because I don't give prescription who, but somebody is going to assist us on these matters that are raised here, vis-a-vis the multi-choice and the SABC, so that we invite the multi-choice formally, and we invite the department, and we sit down and say, what are the issues that are impeding in our smooth running, and then what are the issues that are impeding and disadvantage the society on this matter? So, and one of the important things that we're going to discuss that day is this issue of the rugby. We as Parliament and these members are hell-bent in removing the stigma of rugby as a white sport only. It must be a national sport for the people of this country, and if we have to do this, that it can only go to a particular channel. It cannot go to a channel that is viewed by majority of the people. You're saying we are not doing the right thing. The right thing is the one that is happening in the market forces. And therefore, I think that that meeting will be a very important type of a meeting for us to deal with all these other things. And I'm happy that you said multi-choice is not antagonistic to SABC on discussion. In fact, we have engaged the multi-choice at some stage. They came here. We went even to them. We engaged them. They said, no. People, it was at the time of Dalimbof. So, Chairperson, this is what we have offered to SABC. And we are waiting for the people to come and to ask and respond and all that. And because we're dealing with the issues of the sports, and they gave us and said, hey, please, go and ask the CEO. We're waiting for him because these are the matters that we have to discuss with him. And then finally, SABC lost the PSL. SABC lost the PSL. But I remember we met with the multi-choice and the SABC, and the SABC had no appetite to quickly close that deal. And that's how they lost the deal. I know that. That's how they lost the deal. I'm confident because I was part of the people who were driving the multi-choice. I even said to multi-choice, we are coming to their offices to come and see what are they doing. That's why in one of their interview, I said, I think it is time for them to come out and speak about the great things that they're doing. Because I was saying, it's a white paid channel, I don't have interest about it, let it stay, I'm not going to go there. Then said, no, there's a role that we're playing, come and see. Then they invited us, and then we go and see it. And we said, but what about this? They said, no, we're waiting for Dan. When we discussed with Dan, I'll be coming, there are things that I'm dealing and all that, which were fine. But I can recall, Che, the super the PSS deal, we lost it on our own. It's not because of anybody had a big checkbook. We lost it on our own because we didn't have appetite to engage quickly and close the deal when they were giving us a certain portion that he was talking about. Because I recall, they were saying, we're not going to take 100%. We will give SABC 20%. They must do whatever they want to do. We will remain with our 80%. But these are things that we want to clear with them. And SABC could not go and clear those things, and then the deal went. They could not wait because they were running against time, I remember, because the leak was going to start. So I think we will meet we might go and find out this thing so that when you talk to the people outside there, when they check this tea tonight, they must know that our interest is their interest, and therefore we are prepared to engage all parties for the interest and the benefit of the people of this country, not for anybody else. So thank you very much. Is there any other question? Those are the things that, or you want to respond to those? I was just giving you umpako, but you can respond to some of them. Then, if there's anything what I said, you wanted to say something on it, Doctor.
Well, maybe Chairperson. Well, it's not the view of the SAPC that boxing is a blood sport. I was engaged in boxing since my high school days and even at university. It sharpens your eyesight, your reflexes, and it makes you a brave person. So that is just a side point. I wish the people not to take that as the official policy of the SAPC. Well, I can assure you, Chairperson, and the committee that a lot of good things are going to happen at SAPC. As we migrate to the digital terrestrial television, more channels will open up, and we shall engage with you in how we roll out a new channel for sport, a new channel in Africa, a 24-hour channel, and so on. You know, we will participate with you in those discussions and really create something of value for this country. But thank you very much for your comments. And the views of the members of this committee, we take them to heart. We will certainly continue to engage on how we're implementing what you've suggested. Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson. We don't want you to look down. You're doing a great job. Maybe with the communication, you're not doing the right thing. But on the side of the sport, we want anybody to challenge us and say why you're not doing the right things, and then because the kind of work that you have put there. In fact, people are saying, Maduro raises a very important thing. You know how trivial people are, how low people are. When somebody says that you are low, you must know that you are extremely low. You know how low people are. They're saying, SABC, go and buy and hire that space at the convention center there. And wasted a lot of money. They wanted you to take cars and the blue light to transport people from Convention Center to SABC in Auckland to go and interview them. When it was so convenient that anybody walked into that center to other sister channels in the world, when he's finished there, he walks in and then he gets into the SABC, they're talking to that person. We in sports are on record saying the money that you spend on what you have created there for the family in the convention center and the stage and everything. If I was the CEO of SABC, I could have doubled that money. It was less than what you have given to the people of this country and the world in that showpiece of the dream. So any low person will tell you about the money that they have gone to water and the street and all that. But the value of the people that have seen this country will visit it every day for life is far better than what you spend in that convention center during the 2010 World Cup. In that evening, I answer every day. Tina will give you a thumbs up. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.